Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Mile High Fi Podcast. I'm Doug Cunnington, and this is a bonus episode. I'm titling it something very unsexy and uninteresting. So if you're listening to this, it means you really like the show. And I think I'll call it something like help support the show or buy me a coffee. I may have to sneak in something to get other people to at least take a look, but I'm doing audio only because you're the most important part of the audience. Don't tell the YouTube viewers that. They'll never know because they don't listen to this. So it's not a big deal. And I will tell you, I'm going to put in a couple clips, great highlights from some of the most popular interviews, just two of them, from the Mad Scientist and Mr. Money Mustache. And they're going to talk about their perfect day, their ideal day. So it's not too long. And I'm going to spend, the goal of this episode really is to get some folks to help support the show. And I'll make a small case for it. And it's something I'm trying to figure out. So I'm going to talk through some things and hopefully we'll be able to figure this out. But I didn't want to leave you empty-handed. So after I finish telling you about potential donations and how you might be able to support the show, I will put those clips at the end, so stick around for that. Don't fast forward, please. So if you like the show, I appreciate you listening, and I was looking through the Spotify, year in review. Now, I'm not a Spotify listener myself. I use YouTube Music, and I guess some people really like Spotify, although I could tell you the huge majority, I can't remember, I didn't look at the percentage, but say like 90% of the audience is on like Apple Podcast. Maybe it's like 70% of that. And then the very small portion of folks that listen over on Spotify is, minuscule overall. However, I do get to see the year in review information. So a couple interesting things. Mile High Fi was a top five show for 1,100 people over on Spotify. For 162 people, Mile High Fi was their number one show. And that's a pretty big number, especially when you consider the extrapolation. If we were to go over to the download numbers from Apple Podcast, where again, the majority of the listeners are, which I find fascinating. Very interesting. So many people are on Apple products that listen to the show. But the point is 162 over on Spotify, number one show. So a lot of people are listening, and on a normal basis, the show gets, let's say, like 5,000 to 8,000 downloads or so. And it doesn't, of course, it doesn't mean people listen to the entire show. It just means their phone downloaded it or somehow they've downloaded it. And the interesting thing with podcasts, especially you find audio listeners, when you start listening, typically you stick around. And, for this show, you know what you're getting. You know, there's tangents. You know, we're going to go off topic and it's more like a conversation that you're listening to versus, something more scripted or edited or something that unfortunately people prepare for. So, keep that in mind. But anyway, you listen to the show and I appreciate it. When Carl and I started the show, we were open to having ads, but at the time we were like, hey, we're just going to split the cost evenly. So we split it in half. And I was largely using my production system to keep the cost very low. So I have another podcast. And I had another podcast before starting Mile High Fi for a few years. So I was able to record video. I had a video, an audio editor that I was paying for my, other side of my business. And basically just using the overflow of that and putting it into the production system. So Carl could just come over to record. He didn't have to worry about any of the technical aspects. And then I was able to plug it into my system. Fairly straightforward kind of situation where Carl and I could spend our time creating the content and then go on with our day. Now, I used to sell courses and have affiliate websites, but I stopped doing that. So the other side of the business essentially went down to like zero revenue. So there's a small amount of revenue, but I don't sell courses anymore and I don't have the websites anymore. Industry changed, my interest changed, all that kind of thing. It's a whole other story, but basically there's not revenue coming in. So it's harder for me to like float the cost of this show. Now, of course, we had a sponsor for a while, and that was GhostBed. They were great to work with. It was a listener of the show that was in charge of some, you know, of the marketing components, some of which were around podcast advertising. So Rich, good dude. He went to Economy a couple times and he was like, hey, like, let's do it. But after some time, like many ads, it became sort of saturated. It wasn't new. And, you know, we weren't selling as many mattresses out there. I don't like ads myself. And when Rich left, I was like, you know what? Maybe no ads. Let's see how it goes. And I listened to podcasts myself, avid listener. There are so many ads on other podcasts. I don't know if you are aware of this. Now there's some shows, you know, Choose FI, Brad will pop in and just say, hey, you know, hop on the email list. Maybe consider signing up for one of the credit cards that we recommend. And they're good credit cards and we recommend them for, you know, Brad does a very small ask, like, hey, just hop on the email list. And that's a great way to do it. There's some other shows where, whatever, they have gambling apps, they have some other crazy ads on there, and there's just so many of them. I was actually pretty surprised at a show that I was listening to, and I was like, damn, man, it's only like a 30-minute show. It must be a third ads. There's an ad break at the beginning and da 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 da. And I really don't want to do that. I don't want to have the admin of going back and forth. And then honestly, I tried to do this. So I went to FinCon a couple years ago and I went around and I talked to all the people in the booths and tried to figure out like what a good match would be. I got a couple decent leads. I think only one of them actually panned out as an advertiser and good company. It actually worked out for my other show called The Doug Show. But in the case of Mile High Fi, no one was interested in advertising. I'm not, I don't want to go out and sell that much. So I know if I were to go to more general ads, people will pay for the ad space. It's a good demographic on the show. Typically, you know, it's higher income folks and, you know, in air quotes, the sort of tier one countries that advertisers are interested in, and it probably could work out pretty well based on the download numbers that I have and that sort of thing. But I really don't want to do it. So I really want to try to have this donation model work. So it's over at Buy Me a Coffee, and there's a handful of people that donate each month. Starts at $5. Most people do give $5. One, and I'll just cut straight to it. One great way to do it, if you want to support the show, you can sign up as a monthly supporter, in air quotes, but you could pay 1 year in advance. And if you do that, then it's $50 or some discount, right? Like Buy Me a Coffee advises you, hey, you can get people to pay all at once. Because the thing is, like, I'm just like you guys, right? I don't want to have a subscription where I'm like, I'm paying this guy Doug $5 a month for a silly show. But if you do listen again, I know there's thousands of you that listen on a regular basis. And if just a fraction, which I know that's a silly word, if a small portion of you, a very small portion of you, just gave the $5 a month or $50 a year, that's just a dollar per week, friends. It's not that much. A dollar per week for this fine entertainment that you get. And it's ad-free, which is the thing I'm trying to do. Now, what do you get? Do you get anything extra? Well, I really appreciate it. And basically, when anyone signs up, I like email them back directly. And I'm like, if you have a show idea, if you have questions or anything, just let me know. And that's worth at least $1 a week, probably. So the other thing that you get, which is a little bit more concrete and special and exclusive, I publish an extra video per month where I just give you a little update. I think, honestly, it ends up just me talking about myself for 15 to 30 minutes or so. And I try to make it relevant for some of the things that we're doing for Mile High Fi. I say we all the time, but really it's just me. And then if I want to be, you know, inclusive, producer Chris. And that's one other thing. So producer Chris, he volunteers. He is a member of the audience, and many of you have met him at Economy or maybe at a Camp Fi. I think maybe at even a Camp Mustache. I think maybe he checked out one of those, if I remember right. But Chris, he volunteers. So he's an early retiree and just happened to have, you know, free time at the time that I was looking for an editor. And the thing is, like, as time has gone on, like, Carl and I were, like, trying to cut costs, or I was trying to cut costs because I was managing the production side of it. So Chris volunteered, and I trained him, and, you know, I pay for software that he uses, and that's one of the biggest expenses. That's actually the major expense with this whole situation is software. So there's editing software, there's hosting software. I've cut costs where I can, but some things you do need to pay for, audio mastering software. And I know some people are thinking, oh, Doug, why are you paying for editing software? You could use the cheap version. You can use the cheap version, but usually it takes longer or it's not as high quality, et cetera, et cetera. So I've pretty stringently looked at all the expenses, and I've cut out a handful of things. We're kind of at the bare bones where we need some external drive space for the cloud. We need some software to make things work. And while it's relatively cheap to produce a bare bones podcast, if you go a little bit beyond, which I think that's what this is, I mean, we do YouTube, we do video, I'm ignoring all the equipment costs, which I've, you know, kind of a sunk cost. I've purchased all that stuff before. So when I'm looking at like just the subscription cost, it's about, I think it's $1,200 or $1,300 per year. So it's not a huge, huge amount, but it is something. And I know, based on the numbers, I probably could easily cover the cost if I got a handful of advertisers and maybe make a little money too. Again, there's overhead with that, and it's overhead that I really don't want to deal with. So if you want to help support the show, you could head over to Buy Me a Coffee. You'll get the, you know, the back catalog of, there must be like 10 or 12 Buy Me a Coffee updates over time, which you could check out. And I publish a new one each month. The other thing that you get is early access to roughly one segment of an upcoming episode. And I don't want to spoil the whole thing for you, but I'll often publish one segment of an upcoming episode right when I record it. So I pull that off and I just share it with a handful of folks that are monthly supporters, and you're able to check that out. So often what I do is grab that segment from an interview with Mr. Money Mustache, Pete, for those episodes, and you'll get them like, a month early, something like that. And again, I don't spoil the whole episode. I just give you a cool segment so that you could check that out. So I try not to make it a huge, you know, extra thing to work on, but it does support the show. So if you like the show and if you listen, you know, to most of the episodes and you want the show to stick around, highly encourage you to support the show. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. And even just the little bit of encouragement that I hear is very helpful. And I do know, like when I go to a Camp Fi or I go to Economy, like when I physically see people and chat with them and have real conversations, a lot of people listen to the show. And again, I can see the numbers, so I know a lot of people do, but I know it is also very hard to get people to take action, to, you know, sign up for a monthly subscription, which is a pain in the butt. So maybe if you do the one-time donation or the, you know, once a year donation, that would be more suitable. And we'll just see how it goes. Thanks for listening to this episode. And now I finally will get to the ideal day from Brandon, Mad Scientist. And then Pete, Mr. Money Mustache, will talk about his perfect day. Thank you.
What does your daily life look like now?
Yeah, so 2020 was all work. 2021 has been all fun. My 2019 was like a balance between the two, and that's the ideal. So something I realized after reaching Phi is that I love routine, which was a big surprise because you told me, you know, I'd have all the freedom in the world to do anything, and here I would be sticking to a really strict routine. I would have said you're crazy, but it's the only way I can really get all the stuff done I want to get done. So yeah, with the pandemic, obviously that screwed up everything as far as that was concerned. So ideally it would be, you know, maybe 9 months in Scotland and then 3 months traveling to the States to see my family and or traveling for fun other places. And then when I'm at home, it's a very strict routine of I'm really productive in the morning, and I realize I'm not productive at all in the afternoon. So the ideal would be wake up naturally, which I think is still the best part of Phi. Like in Scotland, it's very dark in the winter. So somehow my body just wakes up like 8 hours after I went to sleep naturally, like on the dot. So it's like, it'll be pitch black out. And I'm like, I know it's 7:05 right now. And I'll look and it's like literally 7:05. So I still think that's one of the best parts. So I'd wake up naturally. I know all the productivity people say, don't check your email or don't read news or anything, but I like having just a cup of tea and getting all that stuff out of my system, like seeing what the emails say and then, yeah, reading some news or whatever, just for a little bit. But then I go and make my cup of coffee, and then that's when I sit down and get either music stuff done or maybe Mad Scientist stuff done if I have anything to do or want to do. And, you know, do that all morning. I've been doing intermittent fasting more so just because I sort of was doing that before I knew that was a thing, and it just fits my, I guess, lifestyle and body, and it's one less meal to worry about. So work as much as I could, make some breakfast, and then go to the gym back when I was able to go to gyms, which I haven't done that either. So, and then come back in the afternoon and, you know, get the stuff done that doesn't take too much energy, because by then I'm tapped out for mental and motivation and willpower. So, you know, do emails and stuff like that, and then cook a nice dinner with Gio, and then maybe watch something on Netflix, and then go to bed. I had a cutoff of 10 o'clock for screens, and then that made me read a lot more because I was never tired to go to bed at 10, but it would at least make me read more books. So then go read in bed for an hour, and then usually in bed by 11. And that was, I loved it. I loved it so much. So that was like my pre-pandemic routine, and then sprinkle in with a few vacations or coming to the States, and then it makes those feel super special. And then I know that, you know, 9 out of 12 months of my year, I'm being really healthy and being really active and things like that. And then I can use those other 3 months to really just have fun and see people and not worry about it. So that was my perfect routine, which I'm hoping to get back into. We're hoping to buy a house so then I can build a gym. Home gym, if, you know, pandemics aren't making it too super exciting to go in with a big room of sweaty, panting people. So I'm hoping to get back to that once we buy a house. So that's my ideal early retirement day, I guess. And yeah, I loved it. I loved the routine of it.
What does your perfect day look like?
My perfect day is also the same as my typical day. So it's pretty boring, but it's get up, observe the sunlight with my eyes as soon as possible after waking up, go for a morning walk, look at the birds and the forest and the creek, and then come in and have a nice super strong coffee and write out in the day's journal and the day's plan, and then do some work in the morning and hang out with some friends at some point in the day, get some serious exercise at some point in the day, build something cool, and then have something entertaining at night, you know, like some reading or some movie night or whatever. And then get a nice early bedtime with lots of super deep log-like sleep. And then just pretty much repeat that, but with different variations, like, you know, different friends, or sometimes you might be out on a trip, or you might be at a campsite, or you might be working on a project with friends, you know, often in Hawaii or whatever. Same basic ingredients though, like healthy habits and work and friends are kind of the part of every perfect day for me.